Good morning and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and we're so glad to have you here this morning in bright and sunny in Oregon. And I'm here sitting with my favorite two people, Gus and Rick. How are you this morning, guys?
Hey, doing great.
Hey, and we are rejoicing.
And we're wearing our sunglasses. Well, not right now, but when the sun's out a lot, it's been so beautiful.
Did you know we're going to be hitting a record today? We're supposed to be up at around 76, and the closest record was back in 1984, where it hit 74 in Eugene.
So we're going to break a record. Summer,
we're going to break a record.
Wow. Yeah. Well, spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung, and it's nice and warm and toasty.
Yes.
Speaking of warm and toasty, there's a lot of cool things that you guys need to know about the Hebrew Nation, and especially with the morning shows, particularly the wise guys. We would like to have you be part of the conversation every morning on Tuesdays from 8 to 10.
So, Pacific time.
So how do they get a hold of us? How do they reach us?
Well, you call us at 503-589-1220. Or you email us at the number 3.
Wiseguys.
At HebrewNation.net.
Those are the two best ways, and there are other ways coming, but we'll just leave that hanging there to entice you a little bit.
That's right, because our show is about taking topics and dissecting them and getting into the Word about them and talking about them from different points of view. You know, Rick's different than myself. And
we're
Gus,
all unique.
Gus is different than Rick. And
I always say we're all one per planet.
Some of us are more different than others.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Very unique.
Very unique. And, you know, just in case, you know, you need to write into us for a couple of reasons.
Yes.
If you're over here in the Oregon or Washington, there's different groups that you can belong to. Like if you're needing a fellowship or needing to be with people, there's some awesome things coming up, and you need to be aware of those. In April, on the first weekend of Passover, I know Manna Ministries is having Dr. Frank Seekins show up.
Yes.
And he's going to be involved. He's the one that wrote the Hebrew word pictures, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And the following weekend, over at the Mid-Valley Fellowship, we have both on a Friday night and a Sabbath, we have Steve Mutria coming all the way in, and he's going to be talking to the group about Torah things.
Yes.
He's the guy that helped start 119 Ministries, and he also does family, TorahFamily.org.
That's right.
Which happens to be where you can sometimes see the wise guys.
Boy, see or hear?
Here.
Yeah.
Both?
Oh,
man. We're so sorry.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
So there's some great things coming up, and you guys need to be a part of that and understand it and have a good time with all of us. Man, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, you know, I got to thinking about the sunshine.
Yeah.
And when you put your sunglasses on, are your sunglasses polarized?
Oh, I didn't used to have polarized sunglasses, but I started to enjoy polarized sunglasses.
Why? What does it do? What does a polarized sunglass do compared to just a regular sunglass?
Well, the sun, the brighter it gets, the darker they get, right?
Is that what it does?
I think so. Does it just eliminate the glare, maybe?
Yeah.
Have you ever taken your polarized sunglasses and twisted your head right and left looking at something with glare? Try it.
Now I'm going to do it. Yeah. I'm going to twist my head right. Left.
People will think you're weird, but we're already weird.
Yeah,
we're peculiar people, aren't we?
We're very peculiar.
So, fishing. You know, I've done that fishing where I'll just twist my head to get something and go, whoa, wait, the glare changed. Yeah. Polarizing lines up the light beam, so to speak, so you can see through the glare, so to speak.
I could see through the water a little bit better to see the little fishy.
The little fishies, yes. Exactly. So that's polarization. And okay. it actually is a term that came about back in 1811. Did you know that?
Wow, polarized. I did not.
Yeah, it was coined by this French physicist. I don't know how you say it. But anyway, it sounds like that. If I say it fast and I slur it, then maybe it sounds right.
Okay.
But it's this guy that said, hey, you know, from an optical standpoint, polarizing, we've got the Arctic and the Antarctic. Well, that's opposite, yeah. Polar opposites. So right. He coined that term.
But what if you believe in flat Earth? How do you polarize that?
Well, there's still an edge. Oh. Now, is that flat Earth as in a line or is it a square? I don't know.
But if I'm still on the round global ball, then it's, yeah, top and bottom or bottom and top, depending on which side you're on, huh?
Right. Exactly. Right.
Okay.
So I think that polarizing thing might be something worth conversing about today and considering. What do you think?
I think it might fit in, you know, because a couple weeks ago we started to talk about some things like the 10 biggest things facing, or the 10 biggest challenges facing Bible believers, Christian believers, mm-hmm. Torah believers today. Yes. Okay, and we found some of those things that we had to do some heartfelt searching with, right? And if we look at polarization in alignment with that, mm-hmm. that still might cause us to do some heartfelt searching. Because who's at fault for being polarized? Is it us? Is it someone else? Is it
just a natural state of affairs that's going to happen anyway, regardless of what we do?
So you're talking about, why would I be polarized against you or someone else? So if you had a different belief than me, then I would say, I ain't talking to you no more, Gus, because you've polarized me to such an extent that I don't even want to see you, man.
That could be part of it. Maybe the question is, are we, whoever you want to determine we is, the country, countries within our country, people groups, faith-based groups, you name it. Families, are we polarized? Are we polarizing, and what are we doing to change that, or should we?
Wow, lots of questions there.
Well,
very interesting.
Do you ever feel polarized, Rick? Not you.
Every once in a while.
You just love people so much.
We love people, yeah. Definitely some more than others. Some are easy to love. Some are a little more difficult.
Well, do you?
We're all works in progress, aren't we?
Do you feel polarized against like? Let's just throw out a topic, okay? So like, abortion, would that polarize people?
Oh, yeah. Believe in the lie.
Which lie?
The lie.
Which lie?
The lie that that heinous procedure will take care of your problem by eliminating that little one.
So would you have a hard time wrapping your arms around somebody that killed a baby? Shoot, I think I might.
Yeah, well, I think we're all human, aren't we? We're all emotional beings in need of a Savior and a Lord and a Redeemer. So, yeah, I mean, but you know, who just like Yeshua said, those without any imperfection cast the first stone. So who are any of us? All we're all deserving of is death and hell, right? That's what we deserve. But in his love, he
redeemed. You actually just said something. Death and hell versus heaven. So is that like right and wrong? And is it right and wrong polarization?
Yeah, that sounds pretty polarizing.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
I don't think we should go there. You know, we're all supposed to hold hands and sing, as they say, kumbaya.
So why wouldn't we? I don't know. Well, shouldn't there be natural polarization? What do you got on there? Do you have a Bible text?
Why don't we jump into the Word?
Yes.
And start to explore a little bit of that. So let's turn to Shemot or Exodus 15:9.
Okay.
So Exodus 15:9, and this is the song. They're singing a song. Something's just happened.
Ooh.
And they're happy campers.
Is this when they got over the sea?
I'm thinking this is after
this
they got through the sea.
Singing the song. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And when you go to verse 9, I thought it was interesting. As part of their lyrics say, the enemy said, I pursue, I overtake, I divide the spoil. My being is satisfied on them. I draw out my sword. My hand destroys them.
That's what the enemy said.
That's what the enemy says.
Okay.
And I think that's rather interesting. So it gives us one perspective of, gosh, you know, the enemy divides. Well, that's no good. You know, that's the bad guys trying to divide us up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if we were to fast forward a few thousand years to mm-hmm. Luke?
Uh-oh.
In fact, maybe Luke 12, 51, and 52.
12, 51, and 52.
And this is the Messiah talking. And he says, do you think that I came to give peace on earth? I say no, but rather division. Whoa.
Yep.
Polarization?
Polarization?
Is that what division means? Maybe. Mm. I don't know.
52. For from now on, five in one house shall be divided, three against two and two against three. 53. Father shall be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her
mother-in-law. That sounds pretty crummy.
That sounds like two extremes that are really polarized just in those two verses.
Yeah, even in the house.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's kind of scary.
So you're telling me polarization was predicted and just almost accepted. I mean,
well, not only that, but Messiah says, do you think I just came to bring you all together and sing Kumbaya and hold hands?
Evidently not.
No.
His word does divide, doesn't it? It really does.
Yeah. And what do we do about that? Is that something that we can even address? And if we do, how do we do that? Hmm. Don't we want to be unified? Isn't that?
Yes, we do. We know the enemy. What does he come to do? Scatter.
Yes.
And Yeshua says, I think he comes to gather his people, right? But everybody's not in that group.
You said something there that may start us down a path of conversation. You said gather his people. So even then, if we're not his people, we're polarized. Which pole are you on, the North or the South Pole?
Right.
Are you the penguins or the polar bears?
There's a verse that follows this thing. You want to know what it talks about?
Yes, Abolute. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so what time is it? Yeah, we have time.
We got time.
And he was also saying to the multitudes.
What address?
Same verse.
Now,
in Scripture, when it says, and he was also saying.
Right.
Usually that's a pivot point of saying this is what he's pulling into relationship with the comment.
Okay.
So any Bible student would know that. And he was also saying to the multitudes, which is, I'm going to give you an example of what I'm trying to say to all of you people. All right? So we're going to take what he just said to them. Know there's going to be a division. Mm-hmm. And he's going to bring in another element to the comment. Here's what it is. When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it turns out. Yeah, it gets rainy, right? And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, it'll be a hot day. And it turns out that way. You hypocrites! ! You know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky. But why do you not analyze this present time? ? And why do you not even, on your own initiative, judge what is right?
Roland, we're not supposed to judge. No way. Judge lest ye be judged.
Yeah,
judge not, right?
Jesus didn't judge.
Yeah.
He was a nice guy.
Don't do that. That's mean. You're mean spirited.
You guys are scaring me.
But here Yeshua is saying, and why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right?
Yes.
For while you're going with your own opponent to appear before the magistrate or judge, on your way there, make an effort to settle with him in order that he may not drag you before the judge and the judge turn you over to the constable and the constable throw you in prison. Mm. I say to you, you shall not get out of there until you have paid the very last cent.
Wow.
Interesting. He's pulling in a lot of different elements here. And those elements are something I think we need to be talking about over the next little bit of time.
Well, maybe we should prayerfully consider exactly that.
I think we need to start with prayer.
No doubt. Precious Abba, Father in heaven, we just thank you. We thank you for your word, sharper than any two-edged sword, our guidebook. Father, help us to follow it. Help us not to veer off the path today, to the right or to the left. Help us to stay right under the wings of the sheep. Father, under the wings of the Almighty,
amen.
Yeshua, our strong tower, Father, you say the righteous will run to you and be safe. Thank you, Father, for your word. Help us, Father, to walk as Yeshua walked today and help our lives testify today that you do live, that your name through each one of us and our families will be glorified and lifted up and exalted. In Yeshua's holy name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So I see a number of pictures here, okay? Mm-hmm. Number one, Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, says there's going to be division.
Mm-hmm. There will be division.
Because he's going to cause it.
His word does cause, he is the word, mm-hmm. so he does cause division, mm-hmm. yes.
He also acknowledges that we do make judgments. Mm-hmm. We do make judgments of what's right and wrong.
And we're supposed to.
And we're supposed
to. Well, especially towards one another, mm-hmm. each other, our brother. If you see me sinning, you are kind of mm-hmm. commanded to come say, hey, brother, what are you doing? You mm-hmm. know, really. Now, the world, I don't think we can hold them to our standard, can mm-hmm. we? No, we can't. They're not held to the same standard his people are held to. Keep going. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, but that's the next element.
Yeah.
I think is what you're talking about, because he's saying before you go to the worldly judge, try to settle things out in advance. So communication.
Yes.
In this division, it seems to be imperative.
Well, Roland, if I offend you, mm-hmm. please don't go out and say, everybody, come to me. I mean, that's what his word tells uh-huh. us, doesn't it?
Right.
I love that. You know, and if we would do that, if we would learn to do, and we're trying to learn to do that, but we a lot of times we don't do it really well.
Hmm.
Well, I says, you go to everybody else, but I didn't even know what was going on.
Hmm.
Everybody knew about it but me, see? And I think he's trying to, what will that do? That'll bring us together if we can do that. Do we? Yeah.
So maybe the question that we need to be asking ourselves, mm-hmm. since we know there's going to be division, since
there
we know
be.
There's going to be polarization, since we know we're asked to make a judgment call, and since we know that we're supposed to communicate, then how do we get this done? How do we operate within a world that there's going to be division and polarization? How do we deal with it? How can we stand on the right without...
Careful with your terminologies there.
How can we stand on what we deem is right according to Scripture?
Right.
And still go ahead and... What's the word I'm looking for? Someone needs to help me. At calling in at 503-589-1220.
Does it start with communication? Do we need, you know, just like we need to communicate with our king, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't communicate, what happens? We get further away.
Mm-hmm.
Same with one another. If we don't communicate, dialogue with one another, and I don't mean necessarily writing, because we know when we write, what do? We misconstrue things. Do we think the best or do we think the worst?
Are you talking about writing like in a text?
Yeah, like if I write a text, do we look at the bright side of things, or do we maybe misconstrue things in our... I think really writing when you're not dialoguing, I think, oh, are you saying this? No, I didn't mean that. I meant this. See, so you can clarify things much easier when you dialogue, in my opinion.
I like that a lot, because what I've found in business is that if you don't communicate, people mm-hmm. will come up with their own explanations, reasons.
Imaginations.
Imaginations, yeah, great word. It could be just wildly different than reality, but they have nothing to go on.
Well,
unless we communicate.
Yeah, and do we think the best or do we think the worst as flawed human beings?
Mm-hmm. Huh. That would tend to polarize us.
Yes.
And it reminds me of the Unabomber.
Oh, you remember the old Unabomber?
Remember Theodore John Kaczynski?
No.
You don't?
Yes.
No.
Oh,
tell me about it.
Remember that guy was up in the woods and...
Up in the woods, and keep going.
No, I remember vaguely.
He did terrorist things. I've got him there. And he was a hermit.
He was a hermit.
He isolated himself in his own mind and became pretty radical. Yeah. Now, I'm sure there are more things going on. It's never as simple as one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if we tuck ourselves away in the middle of nowhere and pretend like we're a world unto ourselves, things are going to pass us by. We're going to get kind of myopic in our vision and get a little bit challenged in how we look at the world around us. Maybe it'll be a little different than what reality is.
It'll get skewed.
We start to form our own reality.
Yeah.
So that's an example of someone that polarized himself to hermitude.
Yep.
Okay.
Isn't that hermeneutics? So you study of hermits? No, maybe not.
Oh, boy.
So Are you saying, Gus, that there is going to be polarization, there's going to be division, mm-hmm. but then there's a way that we can polarize ourselves to such a point that we no longer become effective in our society or those things around us by being a hermit?
Maybe the question becomes, and I'm going to kind of keep building on that rather than try to come up with an answer. Maybe part of it is that how we choose to polarize or divide is part of the issue that we need to get to.
How we choose.
How we choose. How we do automatically or purposefully.
Okay, so I'm choosing to be a hermit because the world's bad.
That's one type of polarization or division. Okay. Physically removing yourself from others.
Okay, so I'm not going to,
I'm polarized from society.
And I think the word says do not isolate yourself, right? We'd have to find the address, but I'm sure it says that.
Well, I don't even see the address. We see great examples. I mean, Esther didn't polarize herself in a wicked kingdom. And Daniel didn't polarize himself in Babylon. Joseph didn't polarize himself in Egypt.
John the Baptist, even though he was out there and wore hair, he was like an interesting dude, right?
He's very interesting.
He still was around people. He was still witnessing.
Yes.
Ezekiel, I mean, the guy had some very interesting things he had to play out, some role plays, didn't he? He was still around people.
Yes, so maybe it's the message that polarizes.
Or the way we think about the message or other people's messages.
Wow. Well, right now, I think I'd like to stay with even just the message of the gospel. Like Yeshua died for us. He saved us from our sins. And there's a message there. And I think he's saying that even when he said this in Luke, he said, I'm going to divide, right?
Mm-hmm.
That might last a while. What are you saying, Rick?
Well, we know, his word, again, does divide. Because his word is truth. He was the truth that came and was made flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And even with our brother Ron, have you ever had a theological disagreement with somebody? And literally they took really offense to it.
Yeah.
Because you looked at the scripture a little differently.
Oh yeah. A lot, right?
It happens too much. And as long as the precious blood that our Messiah shed is not being compromised. We're going to have theological differences. We're going to see the scriptures differently. But I think that's what completes us, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I think we're supposed to chalak.
Yes, chalak. Chalak, chalak.
What is
chalak?
That?
Chalak, divide.
Divide?
Hebrew, it's the Strong's number 2505 for divide. It's the Hebrew.
So
chalak.
What do you mean chalak. Divide? What does that mean? So leave each other?
Isn't that kind of like judging?
Thou shalt not judge.
Oh, that's right. I'm not supposed to. Darn. I blew it again. Please forgive me. We're supposed to properly divide.
What does that mean? What does that mean, properly
well,
divide?
Well, I think we got it. I think we're commanded to hold one another accountable. That's the part of the iron sharpens iron thing.
It is.
I mean, if you see me wandering off base, I think you are commanded, brother, what are you doing? You know, that's how we – And if I get all indignant and all defensive about my behavior, maybe I'm...
Oh, Rick's headed for the weeds again. Hey. Somebody reel him back in.
Okay, so...
I'm going to get my brush whacker out and cut him out.
Okay, so guys, we're on this topic.
I know.
But I don't know if we've really defined the question for callers today. And so you might be confused as you hear us talking. We're going to try to simplify this even more for you. But I'm not exactly sure how we're going to do it.
Well,
we're going to take a break.
We need somebody's help. 503-589-1220.
During our break, us wise guys, we're going to bang our heads here a little bit. And we're going to find out what's the question we're really going to pose to you.
We'll shake loose that one brain cell we all share and come up with an answer.
And then you can call in and weigh in at
503-589-1220
and be part of the group.
And we need to hear from you.
Yes, right on.
We do.
Yes.
It's important.
More than you realize.
Yeah. Rick, baby, I love you, man.
Oh,
what's the coat still on for? Like, it's going to be like in the mid-70s.
Yeah, it's, I feel good. I know. Through the darkest night.
shadow of death into the light.
So the Torah is connected with blessings, not salvation. That's the biggest misunderstanding. The Bible never says that if you don't...
The nations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and we're talking about things that maybe cause division or polarization. And we looked in Luke, and we found out that even the message, the pure gospel of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, he told us that he himself would cause division, and it would cause division within the home. It caused division outside. Brother would wrestle with brother.
You know, I think if I could just interject here, it just popped into my mind. I think it has to do with the Pointer Sisters. I think that's a problem.
The Pointer Sisters.
You remember them, right?
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
No.
Oh, they didn't do that. That was someone else.
Sure. Because don't we inflame each other? If we're sitting on the opposite sides of a topic and we get inflamed. And didn't they have that song? It's the operator, inflammation, and give me Jesus on. Wasn't that it?
Inflammation.
I don't remember that.
Well, maybe it was information. But even information inflames.
Okay.
Right? So let's take a look at what the scriptures are that we've read. The bad guys divide. The Messiah divides. Right there, that's divided some people. By information.
The Messiah does, but he gathers. How does he divide, but yet gather, too?
Yeah,
he's gathering his people. Right? Is that right?
Yeah, but what splits people? Let me give you some examples.
What divides people?
Okay, so we all want to fall in love with the gospel. And everyone says, I believe in the Bible as a whole, right?
Right.
Okay. But then groups, fellowships, Bible study groups, churches, they all divide over stupid issues.
Well, that's why there's so many. How many thousand denominations?
Yeah.
Tens of thousands.
It'll be stupid things like, how are we going to pray and when are we going to pray? How long is the worship service and how long is the spoken word? What are the topics being talked about at a Bible study group? And that's a topic that's off limits and that's a topic that is. Maybe we're arguing about, oh, we should wear a tzitzit or not wear a tzitzit. Maybe we're arguing about, is the book of Esther real or is it not real? Since it doesn't mention God at all in the book of Esther, therefore the book of Esther is about a particular group of people. It's not about God, so therefore it's not a good thing. It's those things that divide. And since you have a difference of opinion than me, well, I'm not going to worship with you anymore. I'm not going to go to your fellowship anymore. I'm not going to go to your Bible study anymore because you and I just don't see eye to eye. And it just bothers me so much, I just can't show up.
Wow.
Well, maybe your group believes in a Messiah and this other group doesn't.
Well, yeah,
that would be something to divide over. I mean, that's a big thing.
But
you
it's
know?
Maybe
you're
not.
Maybe you're.
It's the stupid stuff.
Maybe you're
no,
an
it's
Islamic
little stuff.
Deal, and maybe we're Christian deal.
Is that okay?
I think those big topics can also divide us or not, depending on how we act and react. Now, let me interject real quick because Gerrit Oshav emailed in and said, hey, you know, I tried to call, but it rings once and then it goes silent. So we may have a phone issue going on.
Oh, I don't see you on here. It hasn't gone on.
Well,
sorry about
he
that,
said
Paul.
He tried it.
Well, try it again, brother. Try it
on.
Again.
Okay. Yep. Keep trying and we'll be watching for you because we now have two phones to watch.
I got my eyes beaded on the dot.
Just call in right now.
Okay. We're just going to be quiet. We're going to sit here and watch.
Okay. Okay. Watch
still
and wait.
Waiting.
Watch
still,
and wait.
Still waiting. Wait.
Stop it. The sunshine is doing us good, right?
Operator. Okay. So, you know, yeah, you're right. Little things. We divide over these little stupid things.
Yeah.
But the reason I brought the other aspect up, there are big things that we also divide over. Is that what maybe Yeshua is talking about?
Hey,
how he's dividing?
We have a call that's awesome. Coming
awesome.
In.
Let's
no,
go
it's
ahead
coming
and pick
in.
Him up. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and I had taken it that this is Paul. How are you this morning?
It is working at the moment. How about that?
I know, sir. Right? Amazing.
I've been in this. I know they'll shoot me for saying movement, but I've been in this since Rico Cortez was playing baseball.
Whoa, that was back a few years back,
Paul. Are you
a few
still,
decades back?
Are you still on with us, Paul?
I am.
Okay, so can I get your? Are you on a speakerphone or a cell phone or what are you on?
I'm on a cell with a headset.
Perfect. All right. So get as close to that mic as you can, and we'll try it again. So you had said you've been with something for a long time, and you brought up a person's name. Go ahead.
Oh, I said I have been Hebrew since Rico Cortez was playing baseball.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a few. That's a decade or two, uh-huh. Isn't it, Paul?
Yeah. When I first got into this, it was just about the Wootons, and that was about it. No, yeah. That's a good place to start.
You were one of the pioneers, Paul, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. So, but one of the things that I've noticed, and I'm part of several Facebook groups that bring up things, and most of the time I ignore them because it gets nerve-wracking, but we tend to divide over things that are less central to the faith, and when we allow that to happen, I believe we are doing the work of the enemy, because the good shepherd is about gathering the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Paul, are you saying then that if we don't have something bigger to divide over, we're going to keep going until we find something smaller to pick each other apart at?
Well, that happens more often than it should.
Yeah, maybe right. Maybe that's human nature.
But what I'm saying is we need to look past these things that are not central to the faith. And, you know, we might actually learn something through some of these discussions, because none of us are so expert at the scriptures that we know every point of view that there is, and none of us know everything that there is to know about any one topic within it. So if we are a little bit more open to at least considering the point of view of somebody else, we might be in a position where we're part of a gathering force as opposed to part of the scattering force, because the scattering force is doing the work of the enemy.
Well, wait a minute, Paul, I'm taking exception here, because maybe I'm wrong, and I don't want to be wrong, so I don't know if I, you know, really want to hang out with you a lot here.
I know, oops. But maybe if I think what Paul's saying, maybe neither one of us are wrong. Maybe both of us are just trying to come to an understanding and at least be okay with a difference of opinion
yeah.
as we come to a better understanding, which is...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, fellowships disintegrate over stupid things like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, good people that I used to fellowship with in their homes will now barely even say hi if I see them in the store.
Yeah,
because I didn't go back to the Sunday church when the fellowship fell apart, and many of them did, and for some reason that alienates me to them.
Huh.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from and not being able to go back, Paul, for sure. Because
I just think we need to be careful, because when we divide over things that are not central, we're not doing anybody any good. We're not glorifying the Father.
Right.
We're not loving on each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're just causing disruption and mess.
So then that begs the obvious question, how do we change it? What do we do not to divide over the little picky-uni things?
Yeah, I think it starts with ourselves.
Humility is a good place to start.
Humility. Hey, there's a good
one. Father, help us not to be easily offended.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, to be able to, mm-hmm. and you said it, Paul, to be able to look at Scripture a little bit differently and mm-hmm. still be able to, hey, okay, I don't quite see where you're going with that, but hey,
mm-hmm.
I'll respect it if that's the way you see it. As long as we're not compromising the blood of Messiah, you know, that's our foundation, isn't it? That's our foundation.
So. Yeah, Paul, I think, said something here really
good.
He said, be humble, right?
Mm-hmm. Humility.
Humility.
Yes.
Do humility.
Well, if you don't do humility yourself, eventually you'll be humble.
Yeah,
good.
Yes, exactly.
That is so true.
You will be.
Be humble or be humbled.
Yes.
Right.
Well, thank you, Paul, for calling in and talking to us. I really appreciate your comments.
Yes,
and I
sir.
Think they're really appropriate. Thank
good
you,
stuff.
Sir.
Have a good one.
Be all blessed. Right,
shalom.
Shalom.
Okay, so we've got a start. Humility.
That's a good start.
Uh-huh. So does that mean I get stepped on and walked on because now I don't talk about my point of view and what I've learned and what the Father's taught me, and I just roll over just like a little puppy? You got your feet up in the air and you just want somebody to scratch your belly.
I don't know if we're rolling over. This is Purim week, okay?
Right?
Right.
Okay. You're talking about Haman, Esther, and Mordecai, right?
Yeah. So if
I love it.
If we remember, there's a bad man by the name of Haman.
Haman.
Who wants to take out a group of people. And Mordecai, which is a really cool dude, has a relative of his in the palace. Her name is
Esther.
Okay.
Hadasha.
Hadasha,
yeah.
Yes.
Hadasha. And they find out about Haman's wicked plans to destroy people. So what do you remember Mordecai's words to Esther? I got him right.
The exact, you got him. If you got him, you can.
Yeah, you better do
him. He says, if you remain silent.
Ooh.
If you remain silent, you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. So Mordecai is saying, hey, you're put in this place for a reason.
Yes.
Okay. And after that statement, Esther moves forward in faith and says, ask the people to fast. And we're all going to get together. We're going to fast and pray about this. And guess what happened? They were delivered. Now, we have other people in Scripture of people standing up.
Before you go to the other people, though, let's chew on that one a little bit.
Yeah.
So transplant Esther into today's society. Mm. Okay, United States, we got a problem. And we all are going to get together and pray and fast.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to go over?
I don't know. That's up to the Holy Spirit to know how that's going to go, right? The Ruach.
Okay.
Esther didn't really know.
Did the people pray and fast?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Would they today? Would the United States get together
as a whole?
A
few would. A remnant would.
Okay.
And they're doing it in different spots. In fact, I think the 23rd right now here at the Capitol, they're going to have get-together.
Are they?
And also we know that there's a prayer day. There's been a number of people that have gone down to that for 24 hours.
Is it the first, I don't know, one? I think it's Thursday in May is the National Day of Prayer, I believe. Don't quote me on that. If I'm wrong, please somebody call us and correct me. I think it's the first Thursday in May.
Okay.
I think. Please, correct me if I'm wrong.
So, Gus, keep on going. Sorry about that. So
that's all right. My point is that we as the United States people are extremely polarized at this point.
We are.
So, well, let's make it a little bit smaller group. Let's say all of Christianity. I'm sure we could get all of Christianity unified in one. Couldn't we?
With all the denominations?
Maybe not. No. Maybe not. Okay, so how small does it have to get? How small does that group of people have to get before we're unified? I'm just posing the question.
No,
I don't have the answer.
No.
You know, okay, I know I'm unified in my own by myself, but as soon as I add somebody else, can I still be unified? Yeah.
None of us are going to agree with each other in every aspect of Scripture, are we? No, we're not.
What caused them to unify under Hadassah? What was it?
To save their race. That race was going to be annihilated and completely taken out.
Cataclysm, right?
Okay.
When did we, as a people in the United States, and I've said this before, I'm sorry, repeating myself, come together?
Well, we've come together a couple times. In fact, Abraham Lincoln brought people together when the war was getting so bad and so many people were dying that he finally asked for a day of prayer and fasting. And after that time, the battle started to cease.
That was
amazing.
More modern.
Okay.
The last time, at least that I can think of, that we as a whole country came together.
You talk about like after 9/11?
9/11.
9/11 did it.
Yes.
Why? Because this was this big attack cataclysm.
But
thing.
A very short time. Didn't happen very long. We didn't stay united very long.
Happened at Pearl Harbor, and it happened at 9/11.
Yeah, a few years later, people said, we got to forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to forget about that incident and move on. No, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about Israel. They still take their military and Masada and say, this will never happen again. They haven't forgotten. Mm-hmm. We can learn that. There's just certain things we can never forget.
So that Masada thing from, what was that, 1970? How far back was that?
With the zealots. Remember they were out held up there?
Yeah. Thousands of years ago. And they still remember.
And they still take their people up there and say, we will never allow this to happen again. See, that's why, what is it? If you don't remember history, you're destined to repeat it. You're destined to repeat it, right? Is that what it says?
So you are saying that polarization will continue to happen until our life is threatened.
Until we have something cataclysmic.
Adversity, difficulty. See, that's when his church really grows. His people come together when, hey, I can't trust anybody else but my own mishpacha, my own spiritual family. See, that's, we'll come together when there's no other way to turn to one another.
Well, I think we'll
begin to unite.
That's when, if I'm faced with life and death, the small issues become really small, and the big issues become big. I think of Paul standing before Agrippa. That was the time where all the Christians were being thrown into
being persecuted,
split in two, put on burning stakes. And so that's life and death. And I don't think they talked about little things like, where are we going to put prayer in the service today?
What color are we going to paint the worship room?
Are we going to sing hymns or are we going to sing the choruses?
Right.
The music's too loud.
Yeah.
The music's not loud enough.
Those people are raising their hands when they sing.
No, they're even dancing before.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I don't think they're going to talk about
those
things.
No, exactly.
But they got down and prayed. Notice that when Peter and those guys were stuck in jail, they all got together and prayed in the house, right? And they were praying like crazy. And then Peter's on the door knocking, right? Now, hey, let me in. And they don't believe that he could actually be let go. But
they said, no, he's in prison. That's not Peter. He said, no, he's out there. He's in prison. It can't be him.
Yeah, let him in. You know, so all of a sudden the smaller topics get really small and the big topics get really big, you know, like life and death. Who is the Messiah? What are these miracles? Can he heal us? Let's get down on our knees and pray.
So 9/11, what happened? Bible sales went through the roof.
Oh, yeah, and people started praying.
The churches were full for a few weeks after that. Only a few weeks.
And a few months later, we're all back into our bickering. And why is that? And this is just a theory, but I think it's worth, you know, exploring a little bit. Things get pretty fat, happy, lazy, right? We got it easy. So now we pick on the little things, and the little things become these giant mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
We divide over.
Painting the sanctuary pea green. I'm leaving.
You know, since we're on a Hebrew radio show, maybe we should talk about the Hebrew topics that cause people division.
Ooh, yeah.
And can we still get along even if we're on a topic that makes us upset?
Ooh. Go ahead.
I don't know. I got to
think. Oh, I thought you had one.
That's why we need you.
503-589-1220.
Maybe you know a topic that is called polarization. I should say that better. What are polar bears like?
Polar
bears. Around a polar bear?
Not too close, thank goodness.
Yeah. No, they're kind of independent. You know, if you watch any of the nature shows.
They're usually
you know.
Not out playing around together, are they?
They're herd animals.
No, they're usually by themselves.
Yep.
And they look cuddly, but they're ferocious.
But now look at the South Pole instead. No polar bears.
No,
there's
no
penguins.
Polar.
There's penguins, and there's like a bazillion of them together.
And they all get along.
I don't know how well they get along, but they get along in some respect because they're all together, right?
Well, they have to be. I mean, they're huddled together in this light little pack.
Oh, when it's fast freezing cold, you'd be huddled together too.
Exactly. And, you know, I was just watching the Frozen Planet or something like that. It was on Netflix, and it's like a National Geographic thing. And, you know, the orcas, the killer whales are down under the water, and all the penguins are there. And
they're
all of a
flying
sudden,
out of that
these
water.
Little penguins go blasting out of the water like they're shot out of a cannon, and they're all stuck together in this, you know, area.
They're swimming for their lives.
They are. So when they're under pressure, they come together.
Amazing. Wouldn't it be cool if we could walk like penguins and all just come together and get cuddly with one another because we're afraid of that big old killer whale out in the water?
Yeah,
right?
I want to shoot out of the water like that. That'd be a hoot.
Well, they kind of – I've heard some, you know, that – kind of the Haman story and Esther story, that's kind of a maybe a shadow picture of, you know, the Antichrist, the Antimessiah, mm-hmm. is going to try to annihilate Yahweh's people again.
Why not? It's been
done. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it really makes sense that that could be a shadow picture of where we're headed if we live long enough, you know? I mean, and do you think we'll come together then when they're, you know, squeezing us, well, cutting off our heads for not taking the
mark?
The mark, yeah. So, yeah, so many things to...
Yeah, well, you know, look at the people coming out of Mitzrayim, Egypt.
Yeah.
They were unified as slaves. So is that...
But yet, look how fast. You know, they were fed, they crossed the Red Sea.
Uh-huh.
Then they didn't have, well, let's go back. Moses, you've brought us out here to allow us to die in the wilderness. How quick. Isn't that a lesson for all of us? How quick they forgot. How quick they forgot.
I wonder how many of them forgot, or if it was just that mixed multitude, or,
I think,
you know,
it was probably, yeah. And
it seems like the squeaky wheel gets the oil syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in the United States, you know, let's say, I don't know, 3% of the people believe in some certain lifestyle. Well, they get all the press. They're squawking real loud, and the people that aren't squawking aren't getting the attention, maybe, or getting
Isn't
the
that
traction.
Let me give you this here for a minute. These are some stats that might remind us of the killer whale that's out there.
Ooh.
And that would get us away from just stupid topics, right? I wonder what would happen in the Christian church or Bible-believing churches or anything else if they saw these things around the world. Do you know that since 9/11, do you know how many Islamic attacks have been carried out against Christians? Give me a wild guess.
Well, now, is this just nation or world?
World.
And
these are Islamic attacks. Now, these aren't the amount of people that have been killed, because the amount of people that are killed are even greater than this.
3,427.
How about 10,000?
Keep going up.
100,000.
34,741. Just this year, from March of 9 to March 15, there's been 25 attacks, 149 people killed, and 91 injured. Two suicide blasts, and that's in 12 countries.
Wow.
In the February report of 2019, we have 151 attacks, 888 people killed, 555 people injured, 10 suicide blasts in 23 countries.
Hmm. Yet, it seems like the media doesn't cover a lot of that, do they?
That's what I'm saying.
See, I always say the enemy covers for himself, right? He does.
So if we know that this is happening, if we know people are dying, just like in the days of Paul in Rome, Rome was annihilating people.
Yes, they were.
Okay, for their belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're having the same thing happening, but we're not together. We're arguing about dumb things.
Yeah,
within
the mundane, I mean, little theological differences, and we're dividing. I think that really brings joy to our adversaries.
Sure, because we're not paying attention to everyone that's needing prayer, that needs help, that needs encouragement, that needs finances, that need money.
Instead of focusing on what we all agree with, we focus on the little differences, and I think that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. I really do. I think it's counterproductive to his word.
So how do we recognize
his work?
It?
How
do we recognize it? I you know, Gus was talking about this before we got mm-hmm. started today, and that is polarization can sometimes happen because all we do is we look at snippets.
Yep.
But we don't understand the topic. Okay. So we have knowledge, but we have no wisdom.
Okay.
Okay. So
wisdom without knowledge.
Yeah. So we might listen to a news report,
mm-hmm.
and we just see the title. But we don't take the time to maybe find out if the news report is true.
Yes.
If it's accurate and who's involved, if it's trying to promote a political spectrum, or if it's actually trying to promote fact. And then we run with it, and then we get mad at each other.
Yeah.
We are quick to replicate sound bites. And even if we try, I mean, I'm just going to use the word try to get to the roots of anything we read. Have you guys tried that? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You keep going and going.
Oh, I know.
And pretty soon you find that the 10 articles you read pointed back to one single article written by a certain person, and to go in there and get the details takes a whole lot of time.
Yeah. But we're in a hurry.
Yep.
Everybody's in a hurry.
And we work hard. We don't want to mm-hmm. take the time to even know each other, for crying mm-hmm. out loud. No. I mean, how often does that happen? I mean, we just sit down and go, hey, who are you? I haven't seen you for a few years. Would like to know about you. What's been happening in your life?
Yeah. How is the creator of the universe writing your story? Nothing but your
That's
story.
A good question.
We don't do that very much, do we?
Not enough.
Yeah.
It's the only way we can really get to know one another's heart.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. We're talking about polarization, topics that cause people to divide amongst themselves. Now, we found out earlier in the show that even the message of Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, he told people in the book of Luke that he would polarize people. He would cause them to divide, brother against brothers, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, etc. Okay? And we know that that's true because when everyone reads the scripture, okay, they'll find out that there's something about it that either really turns them on to the scripture or makes them mad towards the scripture. And that has to do with their own spirit. Our spirit saying, we don't want anything to do with a Savior. We don't want a Redeemer. We don't want a God. We're going to make our own God amongst ourselves. Okay? So there's that division. But then there's also division that deals with our own personal likes and dislikes of biblical interpretation. It might be your theology is maybe different than someone else's theology. Therefore, you are polarized against that person, and you don't want to get along with them. And you're saying, you're wrong, I'm right. And that's the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm never going to see or talk to you again. If that's the case, how do you fight against that? What are things that you can do personally to better yourself so maybe you're not doing that? And if you have any advice for us and you want to become part of the conversation, that's what we want you to do. We want you to write in maybe or talk to us. Maybe it's a topic that caused division in your Bible study group or your fellowship or your church, and you're trying to figure out how to become unpolarized. Okay?
Tongue twister.
So you can call in and talk to us about that at 503-589-1220. That's
503-589-1220.
And you can become part of the conversation. We know that there are certain topics that will cause people to polarize. Maybe it's about simple things. Maybe it's like you don't want alcohol in your church. Maybe someone wears a tzitzit and you don't. Maybe it's talking in Hebrew and you don't see the benefit of talking in Hebrew. Maybe it's prayers that come from the Judaic system but doesn't necessarily come from your heart. Maybe it's clean and unclean meats. Maybe it's those things. Maybe it's keeping the Sabbath and not keeping the Sabbath. Maybe it's those things that have caused polarization within your family.
Or how you keep the Sabbath.
Or how,
lots of different ways.
It can be really stupid stuff,
keep
right?
The Sabbath.
The Passover. Do we invite others? Do we not?
Yeah.
Do we even hold it or do we not?
Do we have a formal Seder or not a formal Seder? I mean, do we come in with sandals on our feet? Do we come in with shoes on our feet? I don't know.
Or do we have a staff or do we not?
Not.
It goes on and on and on.
Oh, my word, right?
Yeah.
So why are we arguing over these little things? What is the reason that we're doing that?
Does it seem like maybe, I'm just, this question, mm-hmm. is it maybe lack of maturity in our faith? I mean, to have it my way and no other way is acceptable.
I did it my way.
Yeah.
Why do we want it our way? I mean, it feels good to be right, doesn't it?
Well, but don't we like always people that think like we do? I mean,
sure.
We're kind of fond of people that kind of see it the way you see it or I see it. I mean, they're just easier to be around. It is, right? I mean, it just is.
So do we therefore end up gathering more and more people that are like-minded and we end up with this mind think where everything kind of is the same? And if we've got somebody that stirs a pot, goodness me, it's, you know, we probably ought to relegate that person or move on.
No,
or,
I don't think it's a perfect world. So we're not going to all see things alike. We're going to see things differently, but that's okay. As long as we're not compromising the blood of, I mean, I know there's other instances where, you know.
Well, I guess when you say that, I think that it's happening. I mean, you look at the Sunday church Christian people, you know, they're fleeing churches. You know, look at our own Hebrewness. I mean, my goodness, we have a hard time sticking together.
We do.
Paul wrote about this a little bit. You want to know some of it?
Yeah.
Where are you
reading?
I'm in 1 Corinthians 5.
Okay.
And he actually talks about church life. It's amazing to me how many letters Paul writes to churches. Many of them are big. Some of them are small. If you look at Philemon is about a Bible study group that's really small, but it's just one chapter. But he writes
Philemon.
But he writes to little Timothy because Timothy has to do a lot with big churches. And he writes to Corinthians, and they're big churches.
Timothy, Titus, Philemon.
And I'm in 1 Corinthians 5.
Oh.
And he talks about arrogance-ness and immorality. And he actually talks about getting rid of people. Oh, my word. Making judgment calls. In fact, I'll even start in verse 7. Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump.
We got to become new lumps.
Just as you are, in fact, unleavened, for Jesus, Messiah, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Let us, therefore, celebrate the feast. So he's saying, hey, we got this feast. We need to celebrate it. Not with old leaven, not with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So he's immediately bringing this church around and saying, hey, we need to be sincere, and we need to be looking towards truth. All right? Not maliciousness or wickedness. So I write to you in my letter not to associate with what? Immoral people. Oh, my word.
We're supposed to polarize?
Yeah.
Really?
You're not to associate with immoral people. Now, he goes on and says, I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world. That's interesting.
Wait. Yeah, of the world.
Okay, or with the covetous. Or the swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. So he's already saying, you're in the world, you're going to be amongst these people. But he's talking about the church that's here. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother. That's your church brother.
That's right.
If he should be an immoral person, a coveter, an idolater, a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. Don't even eat with such one of these. Whoa. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? You can't judge the world. He expects the world to be the world, right? Mm. Do you not judge those who are within the church? Question mark.
We're supposed to judge again? Oh, my feelings are hurt.
Now, notice he didn't talk about kicking people out who thought differently about things that they should say, wear, or do. He's talking about things that are immoral, and he'll describe those things of immorality later in Corinthians. Mm-hmm. Coveting, that means I want what's yours.
I gotta have yours.
And idolatry, that means not worshiping God, but worshiping something else. A reviler. That's someone that spreads gossip and all that kind of junk, okay? A drunkard, that means a person who can't stand on his own two feet. A swindler, that means they're trying to take things from people within the church. Those are major topics, but they're not the minor topics.
He doesn't tell us to judge and divide over the pea green colors of the sanctuary walls. Really?
No.
I could swear that.
But
was
I don't want
somewhere.
It that color.
Yeah. And he doesn't talk about dividing over how long to have worship and how not long, or how long you're going to go ahead and speak or how not you're going to speak.
Or what kind of music we play.
Yeah. Amazing.
Okay, so is that, though, the essence right there, the crux of the essence, the start of division, not necessarily in a bad way. It could be, I guess, but let's say the music's way too stinking loud. And for whatever reason, whoever's running that show, that's how loud it's going to be. So I leave because my ears hurt when I hear that loud music, or it's a music that's unsettling to my spirit.
Okay, so how can we turn that around?
Yeah, is that a different? Okay, so if that person even approaches, you know, I'm just one person. Everybody else likes it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you really know if everyone else likes it that way?
Well, so maybe you check, and maybe that's the case.
But you can't tolerate it, so I can say there is a time to you know, not leave with malice or being offended, but, you know, to leave with, say, hey, you know, I'm not trying to change what you're doing, but I just, it just really, it's hard on my
psyche.
Yes.
Okay. So
I'm disturbed after, you know, and it's not supposed to be that way. And everybody isn't for everybody, is it? It's hard to find a body where you really feel.
So let's get some solutions. Okay.
Solutions.
So if I'm the complainer about the music, I have a couple things I can do. Approach the people that do the music.
Uh-huh.
Approach the leaders within the church that approve of the music.
Mm-hmm.
And or go ahead and sit myself outside in another room until the music's done and then fellowship with my brethren. So there's about three or four different choices.
Yeah.
Now, I think when we get back to Paul's message of reviler and those people that are, you know, awkward, if I come up to the group that's doing the music and I'm saying, man, could you guys just tone it down just a smidgeon? No, I'm not going to do
that.
Well,
these people want it loud like this. You know, all the young people, they love it loud, and you're an old blue hair, so you...
blue hair.
Yeah, so...
or no hair.
Or no hair. So I just think there's a note. Is the key, you know what the whole key is, gentlemen?
Balance?
The whole key is not to leave...
Offended.
Or offensive.
Yeah. And clear, you know, just make, you know, communicate again.
Uh-huh.
Go back, let them know that, hey, I'm not trying to change what you guys do. I understand this is what the majority, it's not about me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to, you know, respectfully, and it's nothing against you guys, but I think that communication is so important. There is a time to leave a fellowship, and we get that.
Yeah.
But it's how we leave.
But do I leave a fellowship because of music? See, I can actually go out into the foyer and chill. Or I can ask.
And I've done that before.
Or I can actually ask for people as, hey, can we think about a balance of different types of music? Is that possible? And then you bring that to the forefront, and they discuss it.
Well, sometimes that can be resolved, but then there's sometimes
that it just can't.
Yeah. So yeah, there's lots of ways to do it. The key is not to leave with malice in your heart.
So let's do another example. Maybe I belong to a huge mega church.
Okay.
And all they do is worship in the spirit, loud, long, and soft and crazy
hard.
Goes on for an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
No one opens up the word. No, we don't talk about it. We don't even, and the pastor is incapable of even showing one verse on the screen.
Okay.
What do you do then?
I know. If you're not getting fed the word, again, there's sometimes if you're not, you know, and it's not about us. I get that. We get that. But... I need to get some spiritual nourishment, right? When we go to his house.
Yeah.
Right? If we're not being spiritually nourished, isn't there a time maybe to go, maybe this
There's truth and spirit. We're supposed to be in both of those. He doesn't say truth or spirit.
No.
Or make sure it's 90-20. So we're also supposed to be striving for that balance, whatever that looks like, right? So that's going to mean something a little bit different to each one of us.
Right.
So maybe I end up attending three or four different places.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I, like you said, sit out for some of those songs. But boy, then in my heart, I really want to have some of that song worship in a milder sense. So I go somewhere else and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes back to what you're saying, Rick. How are we dividing? How are we dividing?
Well, see, I would just hate to divide over music. I would hate to divide over my perception. If I've been called to be at a certain spot,
mm-hmm.
then like Esther and Mordecai saying to him, you've been put there for a reason. Why are you put there? You know, and there must be something that you're called to do. See, I think it's so easy for us to complain.
Well,
I think it's so easy for us to point out. But it's so hard for us to say, I want to be part of the solution. Can I be part of the think tank team on this? Can we work together and maybe see what we can do within this group? Rather than, here's the general thing that happens. And I'm, at least in my mind.
Of course.
I don't like this group because of this, so I'm going to see this group because of this. And I'm going to see this group because of this, and I'm going to see this group because of this. And so maybe we jump around. Now you tell me, what kind of consistency do we even show our kids? Do we have a fellowship, or do we have a group that we actually belong to? Do we have purpose? Do we have merit? Are we belonging to a group that says, hey, we're moving out in one accord, maybe not in all of our theology, but at least we're moving out in one accord mm-hmm. towards something, a greater purpose. Maybe that purpose is missions. Maybe that person is helping the unborn. Maybe that purpose is evangelism. Maybe the purpose is youth.
Okay. Yeah, everybody has a little unique calling, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to say, man, I want to be a part of that. Sign me up and show me what I can mm-hmm. do. Rather than going, oh, it's all about me. I need to be fed. I think I'm tired of sitting around having people want to feed me. That's a baby chair. That's a baby chair. That's a baby sitting in the high chair saying, spoon feed me and nourish me. But adults actually get out of the baby chair and say, how can I do something?
How can I make a difference? How can I feed somebody?
And by doing so, you get fed. At least I think that's what happens.
No, that's right.
Let me ask, do you have any people that you would consider brothers and sisters that don't attend where you attend?
Sure.
And you aren't divided over them?
Am I divided over them?
I mean, are they not part of the family then because they're somewhere else?
I have people that are Sunday believers. I have people that are Sabbath believers.
But it's not consistent. They're in the same place.
No, that doesn't necessarily happen. I'm saying as a whole.
Okay, as a whole. Good.
I want people to find somewhere where they're actually doing something rather than floating. That's my own
mission.
So
you mean you want them committed? You want them committed to where they're...
Get committed, because what I've seen... Mm-hmm. After pastoring for a number of years, I mm-hmm. see that people that float.
Mm-hmm.
They're not rooted. And my advice to them many times, if they want to see stability within their own family, when they ask, where's the stability? I'm going, well, are you stable?
Mm-hmm.
Are you rooted? And if not, why aren't you rooted somewhere?
Yeah, you need to be connected somewhere, if you can be.
If you're not
shut in.
You know, just find something.
And even if it's a home church, it doesn't matter. As long as you're meeting with a nucleus of believers that you're coming together, and hey, there's different avenues of assembly, aren't there?
There sure are.
And it's all okay.
And I think it needs to be okay.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
Because we also, remember when we used to get together, we only did this three or four times. Don and Cindy, I think, funded the whole thing. But the Ben Yosef,
we
got together a regional. Wasn't that a blessing?
Man, we all came together. They came from all over the Northwest, and we reunited.
Yes. Those were our brothers and sisters. We don't get together all the time.
No.
But they're still our brothers and sisters. So I keep going back to what you're saying, Eric, because that is – if we aren't going to be all in the same place doing the same thing, let's be okay with that.
Yeah.
And let's reach out cross, what would you call it, cross-community? Let's just pollinate, cross-pollinate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I don't see that as some floaty, you know, hey, I'm a cloud, I'll go wherever the wind blows me. I don't think it has to be that way.
It doesn't have to be. I'm just noticing what does happen is that people float.
It doesn't. 100% happen. It can happen.
It can happen. And when floating's happening, there's no roots. And I think it's a person that wants to be fed the way they want to be fed, and therefore they don't become part of something that is different. which is how can I assist? How can I grow outside of just being fed those things that I want to be fed with?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I think that's an aspect. I think we have to be careful not to draw broad, you know, scopes and say, well, everybody or every situation is like this. I talked to a lady this last weekend that she feels like she needs to get into action.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's headed out to take action.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that by nature is going to divide her from the others around her.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't want to keep sitting and getting fed.
Mm-hmm.
She enjoyed the fellowship. That's mm-hmm. awesome. And there was some feeding going on, but she felt that action was more important at that point. That's good. I respect that.
Are you like the mission field type thing? She needs to something, go out and do ministry outside?
Yeah, something, whether it's with others or you know, a formal project, but just to get out there and do the Messiah's work.
Mm-hmm.
Be a doer of the word.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to be.
But that's what I'd really like to – I think we need to discuss this even more because, I mean, Paul talks about this. He mm-hmm. talks about having the support of the congregation that you're with.
Uh-huh.
And also having accountability with the congregation that you're with. He held himself accountable even as he was going around doing missions. I think what bothers me and scares me is that people all of a sudden get in the bright idea, well, I'm going to go do something. Cool. Who are you being accountable to?
Holy Spirit.
There's more than that.
So you're saying it isn't good enough to be accountable to God. Should I go through a pope or a deacon or do I have to?
Why does Paul assign overseers? Why are there deacons? Why are there pastors?
Sure, is that 100%?
Why are there teachers? Why did the disciples go out in twos? Why did the disciples have to come under the covering of Jesus? Why did the leadership under Moses have to come under other leaderships? Because there's accountability. When people are just by themselves and going, I have a key to the Holy Spirit and only I know that.
Ooh,
and I'm going, wait a minute.
But you crossed the line there.
Where?
Where you said, I'm the only one. I have the... Okay, John the Baptist. What fellowship was he part of again?
Well, that's an example of a prophet.
Okay, but there is an example, and there are other examples where you don't have to be part of a structure. So if everybody were supposed to be in the same place doing the same exact thing, wouldn't that kind of go against what we read?
I'm not saying the same exact thing.
Okay.
I'm saying that there's things to do within that body that the body holds you accountable for or supports you for, either in prayer or in finances or in just making sure that you're staying true to the word of God, the word of Yahweh, making sure that you're actually hearing the spirit of truth and of wisdom and not just something that's within your own head. Okay. So those things I think we have to deal with. And ask for. I mean,
so if we're by ourselves, I would concur that there's seasons where we are by ourselves, but I don't think it has to be, from what I can see, and maybe I'm wrong, but it doesn't have to be a formal, quote, church structure. You know, if I've got, as Rick mm-hmm. mentioned earlier, I've got a home fellowship, I got people at CHUP, we hold each other accountable, we pray, and we act, and we do. I mean, we don't have deacons, but it still works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it works for that particular group.
Yeah.
Okay, and so if it works for that particular group and it feeds their need, great.
I agree.
You know, I don't like it myself because I think, you know, it's just a personal thing.
Yeah.
But I think if it feeds more than just the group and it's a growing thing, I understand there are times and seasons where a person has to be fed. I get it.
Sure.
But then there are other times where I have to stop thinking just about myself. And I have to start thinking about what am I doing for the community?
Yeah.
What am I doing for youth? What am I doing for those people that are needing structure?
And it's how we define community.
Mm-hmm. Which would be how?
It depends on the person, where you're at, right? So to you, maybe it's community is a certain group fellowship, etc. Maybe community to others is in a larger sense. The United States is a big community. So there are other places to
I would like to get interact. Into this further on the next half hour. Mm-hmm. If you want to become part of the conversation, let's do it. I think part of this polarization can cause a lot of separation. I'm not sure yet. You know, is this one of the things that break down fabricness or interconnectedness?
And is it okay to have differences of opinion and be okay?
Yeah.
Just like our brothers, the Jews. Hey, we got 10 different opinions, the two of us. Hey, yeah. We get real strong.
Yeah,
and we
they
go,
all. Yeah. You know,
I love you, man.
Yeah, they don't separate. And,
yeah.
And the bottom line is, I really believe before it's over, we're going to be driven to home churches. There's going to be little sprinkles of light in every mm-hmm. neighborhood before. So we're going to be driving. I think China, the troop. Yeah.
Exactly. See,
and
that's
I think we'll head there if we live mm-hmm. long enough to that. And it's not a bad thing the Father is doing. I mean, it's very apparent that Mid Valley Fellowship, mm-hmm. that was Father's plan mm-hmm. because it wasn't anybody's plan. And it happened that way. And, you know, hey. He's doing a work there, and he's doing a work in, you know,
in different places.
Gus's body, exactly. So that we're all still in one accord, but yes. you know, felt yes. in different fellowships, and mm-hmm. and it's all good.
Yeah. Well, I think with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hang on tight. We're going to have another half hour.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Hey. Does it seem to you, as you listen, that we were out of sync, that we were not on the same page, that we might have had differences of opinion? That's what today's conversation is about. What mm-hmm. happens when we do have those different conversations or different opinions, and through the conversation it seems like, oh my goodness, they don't agree.
And we all have them.
We do.
You tell me any fellowship that doesn't have differences in our theology.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. It's been that way since the beginning, I believe.
Yeah. Maybe we should let's take another hairy topic.
Uh-oh. Here it goes.
Get my trimmers out.
Come on, you guys. We're trying our best to get you to call in. Hey, but
what is that number? 503-589.
1220.
Okay, so let's take another one. I think we've gone on this once mm-hmm. once before. In the Hebrew community, some of you wear tzitzit, some of you don't. Why?
Yeah.
Shouldn't there be unity? And if you don't see someone and you wear a tzitzit and you see someone who doesn't, are you no longer friends with them?
No, I'm not the tzitzit sheriff.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody doesn't feel led to wear them, hey, I can't hold them to my standards.
That's between them and the Father.
I mean,
right? Research it yourself.
But it's in the Word of God. It's a command.
Yeah, well, hey, you take that up.
Forever.
Yeah,
all right, well.
Whoever doesn't, hey, that's not, they don't have to count to me. Right? I mean, if we would all look at things that way,
uh-huh.
you know, hey, I'm not the Sabbath sheriff. I'm not the one that dictates how we keep, well, you don't do this. Well, no, you do this. You know, everybody has a little different, probably, the way they keep the mm-hmm. Shabbat, Sabbath.
Although there were some things like Roland read previously where we do divide. Right? Paul indicated there are some things. You don't hang out with the other person.
I don't hang out with the immoral person, the drunkard, right. the covetor.
Extortioners and all those things.
Yep. That I don't.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm to go ding, ding,
so
ding, ding.
So that's
you,
where
you
he,
ding, ding, ding.
That's where he is very specific, see?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But in other areas, there's gray areas, and mm-hmm. Tzitzits are definitely one of them.
With the three of us, there's three gray areas, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know, let's.
But it's all okay. We still don't divide, do we?
No.
Even though we see things a little differently.
And it goes back to the how we view division. What is division? Is it this, you're not my brother division? Or is it just, hey, we have a different view of things on certain aspects? Okay, cool. What are the foundational things that bring us together? We've talked about this relative to being, you know, quote, brothers and sisters.
Right.
Right? There's some biblical foundational things that after we get away from three or four, pretty soon we're into our own realm.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Our own way of trying to understand it and grapple with it.
Yeah.
Those journeys.
You can call in at 503-589-1220. Yeah.
Yeah.
What causes polarization? So let's figure out some remedies, if there are any. of how not to become polarized. Is that even possible? What did polarization mean again? Did you find?
Well, and if I could, it's polar opposites. Think of it that way.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And here's an article from the American magazine, going back. Let me take a look here. Oh, or does it come back into 2018 from Matt Malone? And he asked the question, what is the cause of polarization? Who is the cause of polarization? What's the answer to that? We are.
People.
People. Yeah. People. Each one of us is.
I mean, yeah. Could I say pride? Could pride be?
Pride's a
PP.
Pride.
Pride before polarization. Pride before fall.
You tell me any human being
PP.
Besides the Mashiach himself that didn't have to fight pride.
Yeah.
And he probably even had to fight it, but he never succumbed to it, right?
So we're saying that polarization then is a bad thing.
It can be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because if we're polarized over the small things, mm-hmm. I think it can be.
Uh-huh.
If I'm polarized over the truth of the blood of Yeshua
uh-huh.
and those things that Paul tells us to be divided over, yeah.
But
if I'm polarized over dumb things, like...
What's dumb?
Where and how we should worship, things that I'm supposed to wear, words I'm supposed to say, those sorts of things would bother me, at least personally.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm standing. Where are you standing on that?
You're looking at me. I think societally polarization is a negative. And I think because it drives us to extremes in the opposite direction, it's hard, I think, to be unified or brotherly or sisterly, whatever you want to call it, a community, if we're polarized. Different opinions, that's one thing. Polarized is we just can't even understand the other person's viewpoint and choose not to, maybe.
Like just totally dogmatic in our,
yeah,
the way we see
that's it. Yeah.
The scripture. Yeah, I think we got to be careful, don't we? To get to with an attitude that's my way or the highway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who are we? You know, we're just brands trying to walk this journey we've been called to mm-hmm. walk. No, we know nobody has all the answers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One had him and he had laid his life down.
Yeah.
See, so, boy, whenever we think he is the way, the truth, but outside mm-hmm. of that,
mm-hmm.
boy, we got to be careful, I think, don't we?
Yeah, see, from a pastoral...
My way.
Yeah,
my way.
From a pastoral point of view, I see polarization being a negative, mostly. Like, if you want to get to my heart of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's good reasons for polarization. So if there was a church member that was polarized over their daughter getting raped and not wanting to go back to that church...
You
again,
get it.
I get it.
I get it.
Okay? But if there's a theological difference and it seems to be pretty minor... And they say, I'm not going back to that church again. Neither am I going to take my family to any church because I've given up on all belief systems. That polarization causes the next generation.
Very destructive.
To not have any sort of faith structure
yeah.
in place. And so now we're faced with generations, as Ben Shapiro said, we're getting to the point of generation after generation getting further and further away from structure. And by getting further and further away from structure, we have a lack of faith. We have a lack of purpose. And therefore, Satan divides.
Well, and everybody's just doing right.
In their own eyes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's what we got to be careful of. But, yeah, there's just lots of ways to look at things. But the key is not to divide over the mundane. Things that just, you know, not the weightier matters, if mm-hmm. you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be not easily offended, I think.
Yeah.
You know, just not divide over these, you know, little things.
Mm-hmm.
That, but I think, you know what I think it is, gentlemen? I think it's the culmination of frustration, undealt with frustration that we deal with in our relationships, in our bodies, that finally says, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. Same as in marriages, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unresolved? Yeah, unresolved conflict.
Issues. Okay.
That just culminate in the frustration, and all of a sudden it's a straw, and you say, I'm done. I'm not going to deal with this anymore.
But how does that happen? I think it happens because we hold it in.
Thank you. Exactly. It's because we have not dealt with each one of these, if in our relationships, we know it starts at home. If we deal with each, you know, each battle mm-hmm. one at a time, or if we don't, you just go to the silent treatment, brush it under the carpet. What happens?
Mm-hmm.
It starts to mount and it starts mm-hmm. to mount. It starts to mount that frustration with different mm-hmm. conflicts that happen. And I think pretty soon it's the straw that says, you know, I'm done with this. Well, I'm not going to deal with it anymore. And then you just leave.
We've always, you know, throughout today, we've talked about mostly church life, but we haven't really even talked about Bible study groups, because I think even Bible study groups have the same stupid issue.
It starts at home.
So if I sit there and hold something in, okay, like I don't like the way you talk, Rick. You seem to dominate the conversation at our home study group.
I'm trying not to.
And I'm not going to say anything to you.
But it's kind of one of my weaknesses.
Yeah, and I'm just going to hold it in until Rick, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay? Really, that's the kind of stuff that happens.
Yeah.
And then we see things like the latest what is it called? Term or phraseology, ghosting. Have you heard of that?
Ghosting. I've heard of ghosting. I'm not clear what it is.
So it started off with dating. So, okay, I'm single, and I call up a girl and say, hey, let's go on a date. She's, sure, what time do you want to meet? You meet at this time. She just never shows up, never gets a hold of me, disappears.
Oh, that's ghosting.
Employers, ghosting is happening now to employers. An employee will just disappear, never communicate, never respond, and just be gone. I've had it happen to me this year.
Wow.
That's ghosting.
That's ghosting.
Huh, I learned a new...
We don't want to ghost each other, right?
No.
We want to goose each other, don't ghost.
Hey, so, no. Now stop it. Now that's, you know, that's what goes back to his people treating one another the way. You wouldn't want somebody to do that to you, so you don't do it to them. Yes. See, that's why I try to teach my grandchildren.
So
don't do anything that you don't want them to do to you.
It's
you know?
Better out than in, I always say.
Oh, Ron, stop it.
Sorry.
You don't want your relationships to be constipated? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, wise guys. Pull it back.
Pull it back. Well, you know, what I hear, you know, kind of moving towards the summary thing, is get our noses back in the Word.
Yep.
One. Communicate and be humble.
Thank you.
That we don't know it all. We never will. And it's okay to be different. In fact, I'm going to forgive you for being different. You know, I don't need to, but I do. And I ask you to forgive me for being different from you.
Yeah, and exactly. We're all unique, and it's a beautiful thing. That's what we're all not the same part of the body, are we? We're all unique parts, and we all have a role to play, don't mm-hmm. we? And maybe your role has a little more weightier than my role, and that's okay.
What does that mean?
But, I mean, you know, maybe, you know.
I think everyone's roles are about the same.
Well if you maybe. Know, if you're the little toe and somebody's the head, it's not exactly the same.
Different.
And that's okay. But that's the thing, to be okay with being different, I think, what Gus has said.
Yeah. I would like to go back to what our first caller wrote in about, which was Paul. Paul had called in. I'm not talking about the Apostle Paul, but
no.
Paul does relate to what the Apostle Paul had to deal with. And that is, I think humbleness is a key factor. Mm-hmm. I think what happened with all the splintering within church groups, and it happened in the New Testament church. They had a lot of large churches and there was many splinters, and Paul warned them, hey, you're following this guy and you're following this guy. You better be really careful, I think. And I'm going to take the risk of doing a broad brush, like Gus says that I do once in a while. But when people splinter and they form their own groups, make sure that you're forming that for the right reason. If you're forming it out of arrogance, and that's one of the things that Paul says to disfellowship with, that you want to be someone that you think is important, that's the wrong reason to form a fellowship group. If you're wanting to do it your way and no one else's way, and you don't like, and you've held it all in from the other group that you left, and you didn't share your disgruntledness,
it's going to be repeated.
It'll carry with you.
You bet.
You'll just do the same thing. It'll happen in a year or two.
And I think, Ron, you said it. You got it. To me, when you better be called. You better know that you know that this is what you're supposed to do. And if you are, hey, it'll all work out.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have a bunch of people that start a group and they're disgruntled, they've been offended in their past groups.
It ain't going to work.
It's long-term won't work.
Because wherever we go, there we are.
Take ourselves with us. I got to go wherever.
It's called a pew.
Yeah. Putrid existence without
spirituality.
Spirituality.
Or spontaneity. Yeah. Or anything else, pews. Yeah. And it can be, pews can be anywhere.
No, it's lots of ways to do it.
Yeah.
And lots of ways that are right. Are they all right? No.
No.
But a lot of them are. So
maybe what we do is we look at it instead of maybe I'm right or maybe you're right. Maybe we're just looking at it. We're both wrong. Just be okay with that, or let's have the conversation.
Or you're both doing the right thing. You're both Maybe. Doing what you're called to do, and that's all we need to do. If we're called to do something, to do it to the best of our ability, and you know, and it's okay.
So, how does that relate to polarization? Sorry.
Well, no, it's all right. I'm thinking if we aren't humble, and I guess you know, I didn't flesh it out completely, but if I'm always willing to consider myself possibly wrong. I don't have to be right. Do I want to win this conversation or do I want to hear the other person's input and consider? I don't have to agree. It's okay. But let's be humble and human. That's a bad word to use. Respectful.
But you're talking about the smaller things, not the
Exactly. Yeah. Not the big ones. Foundational.
So the big ones, you know. Dude, I noticed that you are drunker than a skunk every time you show up, and because of your drunkenness, you're flirting with my wife, and you're hugging all the little kids.
It's a big deal.
So that's a big deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or you're denying the Messiah as being our Lord and Savior.
Right.
Yeah.
You're thinking there's more than one God.
Yeah. Or every time you come to our little fellowship, you're wanting to swindle people out of their money, and you're doing it right and left, and I'm going, Gus, man, stop it, man. Mm-hmm. You're trying to take money from people.
I know. I'm sorry.
You just can't do that.
Can't do that. Yeah. The other things, let's get over ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And
exactly.
Hey, you know, we may be in different locations. Well, we are. Different locations.
We no doubt are.
That's a foregone conclusion. And we come together occasionally. Mm-hmm. What a blessing. Let's view it as
that. It's a reunion, you know, and I think that's what the feasts – that's what the feasts were all about. He'd bring his people together a minimum of three times a year, you know, to come together and rejoice. And it's a beautiful thing.
So you don't think they came together on the Sabbath?
Oh, they did, but I don't think all in the same place.
Came together in the synagogues. Jesus went to the synagogue, as was his custom.
No, he
were
did.
They all in the same
he
synagogue?
And Paul came to his, but they were big synagogues. They came together.
Yeah.
So they came together somehow.
Whether it was in homes or in synagogues, they came together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So that's all we're trying to do is accomplish the missions set before us. Mm-hmm. And I always pray, my daily prayers, Father, give me the strength for the mission you have for me today. And, you know, I'm available.
Or like our brother Mark said, I'm available.
I'm available today, Abba.
Yep.
Yeah. And I use that because we are.
So maybe you would like to become part of the conversation later rather than now because I'm kind of losing hope.
have we polarized people?
We didn't hear from you.
It's like almost 9:50 and I haven't heard from you at 503.
589.
1220.
So you can actually write in and talk to us about your perception from today, which would be the number 3.
Why? Guys. At HebrewNation.com.
Net. You know, maybe you have more solutions for it.
Yeah.
I think I wish we would have spent a little bit more time, too, with some of those things we covered a couple weeks ago, because I think things that are challenging us, Bible illiteracy, apathy, not having focus, lack of direction, I think those things really affect all Bible believers as a whole.
Or closed-minded, not being teachable, you know, that's, boy, the minute I'm not teachable, man, I might as well just check out because, you know, I think heaven forbid that we're not teachable.
What causes that?
I think sometimes that terrible P word.
Pride?
You bet.
I think you're right.
I think that's a big part of it for sure.
Yeah.
That we think I have this much knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I've heard teachers say, hey, mm-hmm. I can teach you everything you need to know. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? One person can teach you everything you need to know? To me, that's kind of scary to me.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a little part. Mm-hmm. Definitely some teachers have a lot more than a lot of us. But, you know, to say you don't have to go anywhere, you don't have to get any teaching anywhere else, I'll teach you everything. I think that's kind of. Mm-hmm.
Now, I could say, I'll show you the book that teaches you everything you need to know.
Thank you. I'll lead you to the book. Yeah. I'll lead you to the guidebook.
Well, my math teacher used to tell me.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he was a scholar, you know.
Teach you everything you need to know about math. Problem is, I wasn't ready to receive the math problems.
Well, okay, yeah, so that'll boggle your mind, all these equations.
He actually could lead me or teach me to everything I needed to know. What I did with what was there was now in my court.
Right.
Okay? Did I want to know what was there?
Same
did
as
I,
the word.
Did I want to explore it?
Well, and that was everything in his perception and context you needed to know.
Hey, let's see if we can pick this person up. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the Wise Guys. What's your question or comment for us? Oh, no.
Call back. Quick.
I just had you. Please call on back. Don't lose faith.
Oh, here she comes. Here she is.
All right, so let's bring him back on. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the Wise Guys. What's your question or comment for us?
Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to hear your voices and great to hear this discussion. yes. You know, what Rick has brought up several times about not being offended, and I think that topic has been spoken about quite often this morning. And I always thought I would be one of those people that would be unoffendable. Because the word says, great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started to see that I did become offended over some things, not, you know, in inner relationships, basically, I had to check myself and say, okay, evidently I don't love your law, Lord, as much as I thought I did. And again, it's the pride that pops up in there because you think you do. You think that you're strong. You think that you can be humble and of yourself, but you can't even do that by yourself. You can't even humble yourself very easily by yourself.
You need him, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes, we can do all things through.
Exactly. Messiah.
He knows what button to push, and he knows where to put us.
Yes, amen.
He puts us into humility.
But are you saying you can't even be humble by yourself outside of the great I am? I mean, does it take someone along with you to learn to be humble, or what are you saying?
Oh no, I don't think it takes someone else along with me to learn to be humble, but it does take experiences that he puts us through to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we just don't have as much humility in us as we thought we did.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know there's certain things that people say no matter what. I've heard people say, I can't be offended. Well,
yeah.
That's scary because we can all be, because we're flawed.
Yeah,
exactly. We're fragile human beings, you know, in need of a redeemer.
Yeah.
And, well, Guy, that is such a good word.
I think I got it.
You got it?
Do you? Yeah. Stay on the line. But I think people, when they're in groups, they develop friendships.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they develop something, and they're going, you know, I love you, I trust you, and I really like you, and I like being around you.
Right.
And then there's a difference, and then there's a difference of an opinion.
Yeah.
And then you're going, oh, man, my friend doesn't support me. Now I'm offended.
Yes, because that person evidently, I mean, I could look at myself, that individual having some, you know, inadequacies in themselves, which we all have, and it makes them unsure of themselves, and so one more thing happens and it feels like they're broken.
Yeah, like, oh man, you aren't supporting me in the way that I thought that you would.
And actually, the word Yeshua said, he did not, you know, it says in the word, I don't remember what the address was, but he didn't trust people because he knew what they were made of.
That's right.
Uh-oh.
So I think that's
offensiveness.
how do we deal with that?
Yeah,
how
right.
Do we deal with not trusting people?
Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Welcome. Have a great day, guys.
His light now shines, the darkness must flee, Yeshua is the light of God.